Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, taking a little shot of the orange juice of friendship and adding that to the fruit salad. Not put orange juice in your fruit salad, James?
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. I'm laughing because my new favourite thing now is and adding that to the fruit salad really makes me laugh. And I even though I know it's coming,
yeah,
I'm trying not to laugh.
Also, I don't know when this episode's going out with regards to the rest of the fruit salad, but I've also lost track of how many things I've put in the fruit salad, or I think we said I'd do five, maybe.
I don't know how many we said you would do.
Yeah.
But I know that I'm not really sure how many things and what the things are that you've put in the fruit salad so far. And I think it was a safe bet because you haven't put any juice in it yet to add the orange juice in the fruit salad. Yeah, but now you've done that. So it has to be just the fruit from now on.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what's in this fruit salad.
Yeah, because at some point I'm going to have to finish making the fruit salad and then that's when people are going to have to enter the competition, which you may or may not have heard about yet.
Yeah, yeah. So at some point we've declared there's a competition with this fruit salad thing, but we don't know which one that is.
No.
What order these episodes are going to go out in.
And you would have thought Benito might know, but obviously Benito only hears the episodes back again when he's editing them based on the schedule of where we're releasing them.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Who knows? So most likely the first fruit salad one isn't going to be the first one that goes out.
No.
So there will be somewhere it's adding it to the fruit salad and that won't make any sense to the listeners.
Yeah.
And then there'll eventually be one where we establish the premise of the fruit salad competition.
Yeah.
And that might even be the last one.
Might be. No.
No, Benito's also not been keeping track, but we don't expect that.
No, we don't expect that. He's got enough on his plate.
That's a gamble. My name is James Acaster. We own a dream restaurant, and we invite a guest in every single week, and we ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish, and drink. Not in that order, and this week, our guest is...
Azuka Hoyle. Azuka Hoyle, a wonderful actor. Boiling Point, James. She's in
Amazing.
Boiling Point. She's in Big Boys.
Amazing.
I mean, look, Boiling Point, this is perfect brand synergy.
We've got someone who has actually played a chef.
Yes.
On the podcast.
Yes.
Someone who
we've had actual chefs before, of course.
Huh?
We've had actual chefs before.
Mm.
But this just makes so much sense.
This is cooler.
Yes.
Than all the chefs we've had on.
Yeah.
And the film's great.
The film's fantastic. And rather excitingly, it has become a TV series.
Yeah.
Which is out now. It's BBC One. And you can watch it on BBC iPlayer.
Very excited. Definitely going to watch every single episode.
Love
the film. I'm definitely going to ask Azuka about all of that. I mean, you try and hold me back. I'm going to want to know everything about Boiling Point.
I don't know why I would hold you back on a format where we do ask people about their work to stop you asking questions about it. Sure, some of the times we've had guests in here, you have asked too much about that work and shown too much enthusiasm and really hung around on those topics for too long.
Yep.
plucking an example out of the air, talking to Florence Pugh about Midsommar.
What are you talking about? That was good.
It was a lot of chat about Midsommar.
Was it?
Yeah.
I had to listen back. I had to take your word for it.
Yeah.
But I think that went all right. Well, I mean, I love Boiling Point, so we might be in for another one here.
Yes, so very excited to talk to Azuka and finding out what her dream meal is. But of course, if there is a secret ingredient, we will be kicking Azuka out of the restaurant.
An ingredient which we deem to be unacceptable. And this week, the secret ingredient is...
Walnut oil. Walnut oil, not one of my favourite oils.
No?
No.
You got a favourite?
Depends. Are you using it for cooking or dressing?
I don't want you to wear it, Ed.
I see. Salad dressing or cooking, James?
Salad dressing, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, walnut oil, maybe salad dressing is all right. I like sesame oil in a salad, depending on what's in there. I mean, if I'm just making a dressing anyway, I'll probably go with, like, you know, a rapeseed oil, something like that.
Delicious.
Olive oil, because the old classic.
The old classic.
Yeah.
If you've seen Boiling Point, you'll know why we're choosing this oil. If you haven't, we're not going to spoil it for you.
Walnut oil is important to the plot.
It is important.
Yes.
So you'd think, if you've seen the film, that Azuka would not choose this. But we will see.
Fingers crossed anyway, because I'm looking forward to talking to Azuka. Big fan of her work. Yeah. So this is the off-menu menu of Azuka Hoyo. Welcome, Azuka, to the Dream Restaurant.
Hey! Welcome, Azuka Hoyle, to the Dream Restaurant. Been expecting you for some time.
Well, you look so worried now, James, straight away.
What's wrong? what went so wrong so quickly, James?
That's not what you want from a genie, is it? That they come out of the lamp and then they look perturbed.
I didn't like the sound I made with the psh. I felt like it was too...
No, I thought it was quite impressive.
Yeah.
I thought it was too, like... I had a hard P sound at the beginning of it.
Too
I don't normally. Yeah, too plosive. Not that, Benito? Too plosive? That's your brand?
Yeah. That's your brand, Benito. Not your production company.
Benito's got a brand.
Yeah.
Do you have a brand?
No.
Azuka?
No, I don't.
I guess if you're an actor, it's bad if you've got a brand, is it?
I guess.
You get cast as one thing all the time.
Do you mean like a typecast? Like if you've got a thing?
Yeah. If you did have like a brand that was you, do you think that would affect the casting? You'd always get cast as the same kind of stuff because everyone associates you with a certain vibe.
I mean, that does make sense. Yes. But I like to think of myself as having a bit more to offer. They could see past the brand and see the ability and still cast me in every role, which is really just the same.
Yeah.
Every role. Do you want to be every role?
Every role.
No, that's too much work. I'm exhausted just thinking of that. No, truly, I'm exhausted.
It's good to be the first actor to do every role.
Oh.
No one's done that.
Hello, Eddie Murphy.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy's done every role.
Eddie Murphy has done every role, and Eddie Murphy is very funny. He's much funnier than I.
How about this, though?
Go on.
How about I am a big studio guy, and I come up to you and I say, Azuka, here's the idea.
Do the voice.
Huh?
Do the big studio
voice.
Play
the character, commit.
It's okay, we've got a big idea for you.
Shrek?
No, I'm not Shrek. I'm a big studio fat cat.
Yeah.
And we got an idea for you, Azuka. We're going to remake Nutty Professor, and you're going to be every single member of the Clumps.
Could never.
Come on. We want you.
Could never.
We want you.
Would never.
Everyone's saying
never.
They want you.
It would be a real left turn career-wise.
It would be a left turn. It'd probably also be the end of the road.
Yeah.
That left turn would be the end of the road.
Come on. Imagine if you pulled
drop,
that
drop,
off.
Drop, 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 dropped by everyone on the team.
Imagine if you pulled that off.
Oh, sensational.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how people feel about the Nutty Professor as a piece of work now.
Yeah, but it would need to be revamped. You couldn't just do it as is.
Really?
Someone would have to rewrite it.
I've not watched it in a very long time, but...
It's not aged great.
Questionable.
I think, you know, someone could write a new version of it.
Yeah.
And if you get, like, someone else to do that and take that on.
Yeah.
Whoever did that, if they nailed it, that's Hall of Fame. You're in the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. I mean, if you want to be in the Hall of Fame, then that's probably a good avenue to go down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to keep making enough peas to be able to buy myself a home and my friends a home.
Enough
and
peas.
Keep playing lots of fun characters.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say, Nutty Professor, you play a lot of fun characters and you're probably making lots of peas.
This is true.
Yeah.
Imagine the peace.
I feel like I just have to say, yes, I'm going to do it.
Segue. Yeah.
because we won't drop it otherwise.
Because you won't drop it. Neither of you will drop it. So yeah, why not? Nutty Professor, all the rules. Someone will write it. Stupendous.
We're in the Dream Restaurant, of course, in the film and the new TV series, I'm guessing. You don't work in a dream restaurant. It's a bit of a nightmare in that place.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty
good. Ed.
Yeah. We're talking about Boiling Point.
We're talking about Boiling Point, a stressful restaurant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently very accurate to a lot of kitchens.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of us got to kind of go in and watch a lot of chefs cooking in very stressful times, and they didn't hold back because they had an audience, that's for sure. And also, you know, Phil, who wrote it and directed it, he is a former chef, and then we had chefs working on the show with us and working on the film, and they all just love to kind of let us know how stressful it was and is. Yeah, it's a hot environment.
It put me off ever working in a kitchen.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
From what, all positions, not just a chef?
Yeah, I think everyone has a stressful time in the film, right?
Yeah.
Maitre
really
d's,
horrible. Yeah.
The waiters, the waitresses, the KPs. I don't think anyone's having fun.
No, if anything, I think the experience of the front of house in that film made me think that's the worst position, because you're getting it from the kitchen and then horrible, horrible customers as well.
Yeah. Just can't catch a break.
No.
How many takes do you do of it?
Of the film?
Yeah.
We did four. We did two on the first day, two on the second day. And the film that you're watching is the first of the second day, take three.
Wow. Did anyone mess up at any point and then it had to start again?
No.
Wow.
And a lot of our dialogue is improvised by the actors. So we were just in the zone, bro.
I would be so in my own head.
Would you?
Yeah. Oh, if it came to me and it's like, right, you got to go now. And like, you, every time it comes to you, are you not thinking, oh, here we go. I got to get this. If I fucking say this wrong.
The thing is that because you've got the leeway of improvisation, you don't, there's nothing to get right. There's beats you have to hit. Right. So there's certain, you've got a certain amount of time to hit certain stuff and then make sure that if you're in charge of motivating the camera to move to the next bit, then you've done that. But in terms of the exchange that happens with the other character, I was having a whale of a time. When the camera would come over, I was like, here we fucking go.
I tell you what I'd get in my head. I'd suddenly be like, and I wouldn't want to do this, but in my head I'd be going, oh God, I'm going to try and introduce a new story element here. And then the camera pan around and go, I saw a ghost the other day.
You say you saw a ghost in the kitchen.
I saw a ghost.
I saw a ghost in the kitchen.
Yeah.
That's really good.
See what anyone else had to do to improvise
so
around
So we've
it.
Rehearsed, we've practiced, we've got some kind of thing. Yeah. And then you just take us completely off fucking course and go, saw a ghost.
I saw a ghost.
In the pantry.
Yeah.
I need you to know if someone can help.
Yeah. And see what they did.
Meanwhile, Stephen Graham's just stood looking at you like he's going to rip your head off.
Yeah. Well, that's his resting face, right?
Oh, good luck.
Oh, he's like a giant puppy as well, though.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, here we go. Go on. No.
I'm sure he is like a giant little puppy dog. I'm sure he is like a little puppy dog. And he shouldn't run his mouth off on TV shows.
Has he ever made a statement to counter your challenge?
No, because he's a busy man who doesn't need to be bothering himself with stupid little things.
That's
Jonathan, what I thought. Jonathan Ross and he fired shots at Ramesh. That's all of us. And I'm disappointed in you, Ed, for not calling him out.
Oh, look, I'm not calling him out, but I'm very happy for you to call him out because I want to see what happens.
You know what's going to happen.
Yeah. You're going to get your head
You're
going to
get
off.
Absolutely fucking pummeled.
As if, man. That would never happen.
Have you seen him recently?
Has he seen himself? Has he seen me?
Has he seen himself?
Yeah.
How's that a comeback?
Himself? Yeah, he looked at himself and went, mate.
Even without him here, you panic there.
Has he seen himself?
Has he seen himself?
Because he should maybe think again.
No, I don't want to see what would happen.
I tell you what, we wouldn't even need one take, man. Me beating him up. And we do that in half a take.
Yeah.
Game over. End of film.
Is it a film that you're getting beaten up in now?
Yeah. I'm the hero.
Whenever I think about like one take things, or I always remember when they used to try and do like The Bill live. So like everyone's panicking about not getting it right, but they'd always cut to the scene too early, and there'd just be some people stood behind a window in a door, just stood there staring straight ahead, and they stand there for 5 seconds and then walk through the door and start talking. That would be me. I couldn't hack it.
Are you acting off camera as well?
Yeah, we try and stay in it as much, but I mean, I'm prone to a little giggle now and again. Adds the stakes. Do you know what I mean? Pardon the pun.
No, I don't know. I'd mess it up.
I mean, listen, you don't know until you've tried.
I just think.
Have you ever done any sort of like improv, not in the world of comedy, more in like dramatic film, television setting?
Tiny bit, but even then, I'm not used to being on those things, so I panic on that.
Really?
I'm like, yeah.
How does your panic manifest?
We improvise as comedians all the time on stage,
of course.
But then once the cameras are on you and you're doing a thing, I'm like, oh no, I'm really starting to overthink it in my head, okay, what I'm going to say, because everyone's cameras are rolling. I don't want to like have to start again.
Do you find that your instinct is that you need to be funny in those moments?
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got the comedic curse.
Yeah, because the way my brain works is, I think, what's the point of me saying anything unless it's funny?
Yeah. Ah.
So if I was improvising in a dramatic scenario, mm-hmm, I'd just be stood silently.
Yeah, that's why it would be.
Yeah.
That I saw a ghost.
I saw a ghost.
That's why that would happen.
Yeah. That really got me.
It would be all about that.
So the new Boiling Point TV series, I guess, is that short more like a traditional TV series?
There are long shots in it.
Yeah.
The series will open with a 20-minute long shot.
Wow.
It's far more improvised than the film was.
Oh, wow.
Actually, we were put to our improvising tests on the series.
Yeah.
But yes, no, we had obviously had, we could start again. We had
you
more takes. Minus the first 20-minute take, but 20 minutes was light work for us after doing an hour and a half. So we just boshed that out in a studio as well. And then also some parts on location.
Is it back in the same restaurant? No.
No. We are in a new restaurant called Point North, which specializes in Northern cuisine, but based in London.
Okay. So are you the same characters?
I am indeed. We are indeed.
So you've all moved. Has the events of the film...
Yes.
Sorry to grill you.
No, this is good.
Have the events of the film happened?
They have happened. So we pick up around 6 months after the final frame of the film, and everyone's moved on with their lives.
You know what happens
a lot
at
of
the
us
end,
are...
Sorry, yeah,
go on. No, go on.
Though there's a frame after. If it carries on the film... You see me running and beat him up on the floor.
Yeah, you're waiting for him to pass out.
Yeah.
And then he passed out. Yeah. What you don't see on the film is that he passes out from fear because he sees me.
What you don't see is you just spike in the bag before he takes his last bit. Just like tiptoeing, like the Grinch.
Yeah. I'm very excited about it.
So I'll be filming Great British Menu again then. And Tom Kerridge is another judge and he absolutely loved the film.
Lovely. Mm.
And I was like, surely it can't be that stressful in kitchens. Tommy's like, no mate, it was fucking bang on.
Yeah.
It is like that.
Yeah. Even just when we're doing the scenes of stressful, you do get stressed as an actor.
Yeah.
Those you have to go home and really shake it off. Like it's relentless when you're, because we filmed that for the series was 3 to 4 months in that same kitchen. And when I first started, I said to Phil and everyone, I was like, oh, I'm fucking gassed to do this because I'm always hungry on set. I was like, we're going to actually have like decent food. And that's when I found out that none of the food is edible that we cook. Nothing's edible.
Oh, why not?
Well, because, you know, you've got fish that's in a fridge for 7 days that so long as until it's brown, you can continue using it. But that doesn't mean that it's not fucking stinking.
Mm-hmm. Stinks.
So you're in there trying to film this all. All you can smell is rotten fish.
Oh, lovely.
So we all start with still a sparkling water.
Yes. I must say before we start this,
yeah,
I have put more thought into the restaurant itself, then the three courses of which I will eat.
Okay.
But I guess you can discover that as we go along.
We can. We can describe it now if you want. Is it up to you?
Well, the restaurant is obviously a dream restaurant.
Yeah.
So I can have anything and everything of which my heart desires.
Yes.
Cool. So this restaurant is outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a conservatory, like the biggest conservatory you've ever seen, because it needs to be a multi-sensory experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all senses are involved with this, and all the animals and all the herbs and everything that you'd consume or just want to look at is around you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Out the window. Obviously, there's some people that have to censor that. Like, you don't want to see a killing happening outside or a mating or a birth. Like, there's some things that you maybe... Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like an angry monkey, like, running and banging on, smashing the glass. Like, it's peaceful.
Yes.
Does this mean you're going to eat monkey?
Well, no. Mm. No, this isn't Indiana Jones.
So there's just loads of animals. So you're, like,
there's
in a
just,
conservatory.
Well, yeah, it's just, like, it's like you're in the middle of nature. Because I imagine that this is, like, I don't know, I get a very, like, Final Meal vibe. But not like you're going into prison or you're on death row. More like Don't Look Up vibes. You know that scene at the end of Don't Look Up when Leonardo DiCaprio's family is just like eating and like everything shaking, but they're just pretending like it's fine.
Yeah.
I imagine it's like that.
Yeah.
So this is the last meal for everyone.
Interesting.
And we've all decided to just be like, fuck it.
So it's the end of the world.
Biggest cook up of our lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah. and watch the comet descend upon this earth.
Okay. Wow.
Sort
this is the
of
first
thing.
Apocalyptic
yes.
menu
is it?
We've had.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And I imagine that within the restaurant, so you look out of the windows, all these massive windows, the ceiling, the side windows, you've got like a huge waterfall that like runs into a beach.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've also got like a massive jungle and a rainforest around you and maybe a desert at the back. Like this is a place in which we can have every season and
right.
every kind of world or country around us.
Okay.
So you have everything, which also inspires the menu. Have you ever been to Cosmo?
No.
No.
It's dire. It's an all-you-can-eat restaurant where you take your plate up back uh-huh. and forth.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be like all around the world. They have
right.
a cuisine from around the world.
Yeah.
I would like it that there's a door. So you get up from your table and there's like a little hobbit door,
uh-huh.
like a grotto.
Yes.
And each one has a sign above it and it's a different country. And when you walk through this door, you enter a living room from a completely different country, which is a family that have home cooked their traditional cuisine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
everyone's got their own little trolley mm-hmm. and with plates on it and you enter each door.
Yeah.
And it's a 12-hour experience. So each course is maybe breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Got you.
Because you've got 12 hours until it's the end of the world.
So it's like it's a global all-you-can-eat buffet.
It's a global all-you-can-eat buffet yeah. made by people from the country that you would like the cuisine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All your mates are there. It's just a stunning experience. You can bring your dog if you want.
As the final point.
Yeah, it's really
also,
important that
yeah.
it's animal
friendly. In case
friendly.
This doesn't swing it for you, you can bring your dog.
You can bring your dog.
I actually got like emotional thinking about this in the car.
Yeah. Here's the thing. So if it is end of the world though,
yes.
I would worry that the families who are cooking it are going to be affected by that.
What do you mean?
They know that they're all about to die.
Yeah.
It's the
yes.
end of the world.
Okay,
their
so maybe...
Their existence is about to be snubbed out. I don't know if I want someone making me food. Who has nothing matters in their head.
Yes. So what if it's almost like a VR experience in the sense that my current time, this
yeah.
is happening, their okay. current time, they're in my position. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like
time.
The end of the world. Somebody is like
okay.
giving you server.
Because also I'd feel bad about going into people's homes to have food that they've cooked for me when really they
yep.
should be spending their last moments on earth with their family.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So they're in a different time.
They're in a different time, but they're present.
But they're present.
Yeah.
You're in like... Edward Norton's house in Glass Onion?
Yeah, kind of, but not as bougie.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Let's just keep it a bit chill.
It's a massive conservatory.
Yeah. Massive conservatory, but
yeah.
just not too bougie. Maybe there's a few
but
cracks.
But then you also... So actually, I'm confused actually. So it's all glass, but you're going through the Hobbit doors,
mm-hmm.
which are in the glass?
Yeah, they just kind of appear.
Yeah.
So you go through that, but then you're in like a non-glass.
It
room.
Brings you into a totally
so
different
place. So magic, it's like a
yeah.
portal.
Yeah. yeah, there's magic involved in this. I think that's really important to note.
Yeah, okay, well, that sounds great.
I'd yep. be really worried during this meal.
Would you?
Yeah, because there's a comet coming and I'm in a conservatory.
Okay.
I think that's the last place I want to be.
You don't want to see it?
Well, no, I don't want the glass to shatter and I don't want to know I'm definitely going to die with loads of glass in my face.
How would you want to spend your final moment?
Realistically, I guess just under the duvet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
With anyone?
Yeah, alone.
No. Can't have anyone see me like that.
Fucking hell.
Under
that's
the duvet.
Well, that's realistic, though, you know?
You won't be under the duvet having a panic attack.
Yes.
Okay.
But I certainly wouldn't want to be near glass.
Yeah, but I just feel like it would happen so fast, you wouldn't really feel the glass in you. It would just,
yeah.
1 minute you're alive, next minute.
All right, you've sold it to me then. I wouldn't feel the glass in me.
How would you want to spend it?
Beating up Stephen Gray. I'll probably hold Stephen Graham over my head, aim him at the comet, and go. Age before beauty, Graham. And then let him get hit by the comet first.
Or throw him into the comet.
Yeah, I throw him into the comet, shatter the comet like Armageddon, save the world. That's what would happen.
Okay.
So I'll probably do that and then go through one of the Hobbit doors and hide in case he survived it.
For the rest of your life.
That's yeah. a good question, though. Couldn't you go through one of the Hobbit doors that are in a different time
yeah.
and hide out there? As soon as you know the comet's coming.
No, I think we should. It should be the end.
Yeah, you want it to be the. As
you're
it's got to
be the end.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
then my brain's just going to let me have loads of leeways for the rest of the, and you'll never be able to find the coordinator.
Yeah.
Throughout
I like the door. I really like the doors thing.
The doors thing's really cute, and actually, if anything, that's the main thing that I'm excited
yeah.
by.
Mm. I'm imagining it a bit like Monsters Inc.
Yeah.
Oh.
Where all the doors come down.
Yeah.
Well, that's the theory with Monsters, Inc. amongst hardcore Pixar fans.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
Is that the doors don't actually go just to the human world. They go back in time. They're time-traveling doors.
Wow, it's a bit
And that Monsters, Inc. is happening in the future, where monsters live on Earth and inhabit Earth, and humans are a thing of the past.
Gosh.
So they're having to go back in time to harvest laughter and screams.
Why is that a theory?
Because there's the theory that all of the Pixar films exist in the same universe and are part of the same storyline. And that Boo from Monsters, Inc. is actually the witch in Brave. And she's traveling through time. And that's why she's working in the workshop, and she's trying to make one of the doors so she can go and find Sully again. One of the carvings in the witch's workshop in Brave is of Sully on a wooden board. This supports this theory.
Wow.
So that's a bit, that's the,
yeah.
A lot of the Pixar films are about energy, a lot of energy crisis and the climate crisis.
Yeah.
So, you know, and emotions giving people power. See Inside Out, if you don't believe me. For example.
Sorry, we should have let you know at the start. James is a total fucking dweeb.
I would a total fucking dweeb be able to throw Stephen Graham into a comet? I don't think so.
I'm loving this restaurant. You're right. I think you've put way more thought into the restaurant than anyone else we've had on.
Easily.
That will definitely come back to bite me, though, in the sense that everyone else has put a lot more work into what they will actually eat.
I don't know, because you've got the globe to choose from.
Well, this is true. Yes.
And you said it's going to be a 12-hour experience, three courses, breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Yeah. It's worth mentioning there's sleeping pods as well if you get a bit tired, because that's a lot of eating and drinking for 12 hours. You are going to need a nap.
But are you really going to take a nap in the 12 hours before everyone dies?
I mean, I'd be getting on it, obviously.
Yeah, big time. Hammered,
but mate. Some people, you know, the teetotal honeys, they might need a nap.
Maybe need a little snooze.
Well, the pods should say teetotal honeys on them.
Yeah, the teetotal honeys. We still don't know if you want still a sparkling water.
So still, all the way, I don't understand sparkling water.
Yeah.
But what's actually disturbed me more listening to your podcast is more than hearing the people that choose sparkling water is the people that don't drink water.
Mm.
I need all of them to go to the hospital tomorrow and check their blood sugar levels and just their general insides. Mm-hmm. How can you go without water?
It's not who you'd think either.
Really?
It's not the people you'd expect.
No.
Jordan Banjo, professional dancer.
Winkleman.
Claudia Winkleman. Looks like the epitome of health. Florence Pugh, for
Florence
fuck's sake.
Florence Pugh absolutely threw me. I couldn't believe it when she said no water.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you... I mean, listen, I guess it's not for everyone, but it is and should be.
By design. It is for everyone.
But still, because sparkling water, I just don't really understand.
And I think that's a very acceptable answer. I
do like the juxtaposition.
I don't fully understand it.
Of you saying you want a massive conservatory with doors where you can go to anywhere in the world and it's the end of the world.
Mm.
And then I don't understand sparkling water.
Yeah, I don't understand sparkling water.
It's too weird.
Yeah, it's What's just too weird for me. I can't figure out whether somebody really rich or really poor invented it.
What?
That's interesting.
What do
you mean?
Sparkling water. Either somebody was just like, how can we make this more delicious?
Yes.
You know, and we'll just put bubbles in it. Mm-hmm. I can't figure out if someone was just making the most of what little they had, or if someone was bored and was like,
"Oh, that's interesting."
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sure there's an answer. We can Google it immediately, but I can't figure out which one I would lean towards.
I'm gonna say we can't Google was the person who invented sparkling water rich
not,
or poor.
No,
I don't know who
that.
Invented sparkling water.
I've got no idea. And how old is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it invented before soft drinks like? You know, or did it come out as an afterthought of like, we could also make water fizzy?
Yeah. I mean, it can't have come out before orange juice, surely. That's just squeezing it into it.
Yeah.
Someone just sucked on that and went, tell you what, this is delicious. I don't even
That's
going to
be
chew.
Early. Orange juice is early.
OG drinks, still water.
Yeah.
Orange juice has got to be pretty hot on its
any
tail.
Any fruit, anything you can just pick off.
Yeah. Hot on its tails, I said. Hot on its heels, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is the phrase. Water, then all juices.
Yeah.
And then I guess fizz gets involved.
Yeah,
guess
wine's
fizz.
Very early.
Yeah.
But I guess wine's old juice, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
As I'm constantly told by my wife.
It'd be early, but I guess not.
It's just old juice. Why is this in the house? It's old juice.
She's weird. She's a weird person. Doesn't even get under the covers with him when the comet's coming. But surely wine comes after juice. You know, you'd have all the juices, but they had to wait for wine a bit longer. So even if they were juicing the grapes early doors, they'd have to wait longer for it to turn into wine.
Mm. And are you going to a particular door nation?
Scotland.
You're going through the door to Scotland.
So yeah,
Highland Spring. Straight from the waterfall, straight from the glens.
Have you ever had it straight from the waterfall?
Of course.
You have?
Yes.
Rite of passage?
Rite of passage.
Have to do it?
Just cut your hands and just chuck it down your throat.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When did you go and do that?
Oh, God, I do it. When was I last in Scotland? June. I went to Dalavich, which is just south of Oban. Yeah. Went during a heat wave, stunning, took my dog and my best mate. We did a Munro and then we just drank from the stream, dog and all. It's beautiful. Wow. Yeah.
You trying to drink upstream from the dog, I'd imagine. Yeah.
That's very good, yeah. But also Scottish tap water. That stuff is elite. I would drink Scottish tap water over any bottled water.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Yeah, and then you drink the tap water down here and almost had a heart attack. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's completely fair. I mean, the further north up Great Britain you get, the nicer the water is.
Yeah.
It's just...
Well, I grew up on London water, so I'm used to it, you know.
Yeah.
I think, I've said it before on the pod, I think some northern water too soft for me.
Really?
Certainly for a shower.
But look at his hair.
Well, I was going to say, it's a good head of hair.
Yes, good head of hair.
It served you well. If you go up north, does it start to fall out?
It fluffs.
Oh, does it?
Big time.
Right.
Yeah.
It looks big nice. Time. It looks nice for once.
What do you mean for once?
You've got horrible hair.
Oh, you're a wee bit jealous.
Oh, it's horrible.
You got lovely hair, James.
You got a big head of hair, but it's like a big matted clump. Awful.
Thank you.
Really grimy.
Yeah, London water.
But if you go up north, it'd be much nicer.
No.
Get a bit of body to it.
Don't like it.
Be nice and clean for once. But it's just like held together by old jam.
Thank you.
Poblobs or bread? Poblobs or bread? It's like a hot
bread.
Poblobs or bread?
Bread, spread. We're going through the Irish door and we're going to have some soda bread.
Scotland to Ireland.
Yeah, yeah, really, really exploiting the old magical travelling door system at the moment.
Yeah.
You could probably do it in a flight,
probably
a lot of these.
Flight, you just hop on a boat or a train or a horse.
Bit
by
bit.
Yeah.
Soda bread, yes.
Soda bread, because I was tempted to go sourdough bread. Soda bread's better.
Yeah.
If you have soda bread in Ireland, stunning. Good butter.
Irish butter as well.
Irish butter, yeah.
You don't need to go through another door for the butter.
No. Also, don't ask me the brand of Irish butter because I don't know.
Kerrygold.
We'll give you Kerrygold.
Right, yeah,
we're giving you Kerrygold.
Okay, nice. So you guys are both, you're doing a little stint in the Irish. If I walk through the doors, it's you two there to
if you want, we could be in every single one as different characters with different accents.
Well, I think it should be the genie. Eddie Murphy, love that.
I think it should be the genie dressed in the different national dress every time you go through the door.
Yeah, absolutely happy to do that.
And I'm saying that not knowing where you're going for the next courses.
Well, I don't have to do any of this.
We're on safe ground so far.
Yeah, you get me with that.
I've worn a kilt.
Yeah.
And, I don't know.
Oh, no.
Don't know enough about it. David O'Doherty wears a cap.
Yeah.
Baseball cap. Baseball cap.
Baseball cap and a little piano.
It's like, yeah, there you go. Done.
Delicious. Soda bread doesn't come up enough on this podcast.
I
absolutely love it every time.
Do most people say sourdough?
Sourdough comes up a lot.
Yeah.
Some people just say nice bread, you know, like nice bread.
Baguettes. French baguette comes up a lot. Yeah.
Oh, to be fair, French baguette from France, in France. You've ran to the shop, picked that up.
Yeah.
Bit ham, bit of locally sourced brie. Mm-hmm. Slap it on. That's delicious.
Do you want to ask the baguette question?
Yeah, yeah. If you're in France, in Paris, and you've gone to a bakery and you've got yourself a warm baguette and you're walking back to the Airbnb, let's say, that you're staying at, on the way back there, do you bite the top of the baguette on the way back, or do you wait until you get home?
Yeah, no, I could never wait. I'm gluttonous.
Respect.
Yeah.
That's the new psychopath test.
It's just awful.
People who don't bite at the end of the baguette need to be in prison.
I really struggle to not eat half of my dish before I've taken it from the kitchen to wherever I'm eating it. It's a real battle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The same if I've just opened the door to the Deliveroo guy and I'm there like feebly trying to like open it up, the bag. Yeah, it's a horrible, horrible sight. Yeah.
Before they've even gone away.
I just have no self-control.
Because they ask for a code now.
Yeah.
So you're like mouth full trying to give them the code.
Yep.
No, it's always just the same code.
It's the same code.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know for ages. And like,
not for everyone.
Is it not?
Why?
As in not everyone doesn't have the same code.
Yeah, yeah, sure, yeah, sorry.
Otherwise, I'd run around London interrupting Deliveroo men.
It'd be very easy to do.
Just grabbing the food.
Yeah.
I've got a different code. Because basically, I went in a strop one night. So I cancelled, I just deleted my Deliveroo account.
And why would you do that?
Because I was in a strop with them.
You knew you were going to have to read
it. Yeah, yeah. But I couldn't see past it.
Fair enough.
I was just like, oh, fuck these guys. Yeah. And then the next day I was like, setting up a new account.
Yeah.
So I've got a different number now. But that old account, my number that I used to get was 69 all the time.
I'm really
gutted that I've said goodbye to that now.
Oh, I hope they don't retire the number. I hope they give it to someone. I hope someone else.
Someone will have got it.
Yeah.
How many times when Deliveroo brought you your meal and you said 69, did the driver say, nice?
Every single time. And then we'd do a 69. You said the lucky number. We'd have to do it.
Do you keep the cube on?
Yeah, obviously. That's like a different number then, actually. Yeah, yeah, keep the cube on. Sorry, it's okay. Where are we going for the starter? Your dream starter?
Starter? I think probably Italy.
Ah, I'm all right dressing like an Italian person.
What are you wearing?
Yeah, what are you wearing?
You should decide, really.
No, you decide.
It's your thing.
This is your added thing to the Dream Conservatory.
This is just like the Dolmio puppets.
Yeah, okay.
They're in pop culture.
That's also a nice, I guess, a nice just like friendly chefs. Thing to see.
Yeah, people like the Dolmio puppets.
I'm scared of the Dolmio puppets.
What?
They're terrifying.
They're interesting. Is it not because you've got the grand, and then. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it like her family?
I think she's the matriarch.
Yeah, she's the matriarch of the family.
Yeah.
Which one are you?
I'll be, I guess, the main dad who's always coming in and...
It's a domio.
Yeah, who says that.
Okay.
I'll be that guy.
But you're life-sized and you're a puppet, or you're just dressed in what the puppet is usually dressed
in. It's up to you. Like, I can be a domio puppet version of myself, so a new domio puppet, but that is me.
I'm just trying to think how scary that would be.
Yeah.
Like IRL. It might be funny to think of now, and the whole situation is absurd that I've created. However, that might just be a step too far.
A life-sized Dolmio puppet who can walk and talk is like a nightmare
situation. Yeah, that's horrific. That's like paralysis.
Goes to Christmas present.
Yeah.
In Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I could be with the Dolmio puppets, but like, you know, Michael Caine in Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
So it's like me and them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I look. I live with them, and I'm accepted as just a character, and I accept them for what they are. So
yeah,
like he does with everyone. Even though I'm massive,
like Will Ferrell in Elf.
Like Will Ferrell in Elf, and I've been raised by them. I guess I've been raised by Dolmio puppets, so I don't know the difference. No one's told me yet that I'm not one of them.
Okay, sweet. So we won't disrupt that. Either.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll just come.
There's an opportunity for a feature film, I guess.
Yeah,
where
very much so.
I go and find my family in Kettering, and they have to be like, "You are not a Dolmio puppet." I talk to me like that. He thinks he's a Dolmio.
Yeah, you sit down to dinner in Kettering and say it's Dolmio Day.
Yeah.
They're like, it's not Dolmio Day.
Yeah.
Every day you say it's Dolmio Day.
I still make them spaghetti for breakfast and send them off to
that works perfectly. Yeah,
so that still fits in. If anything, my own real life family would be delighted if I put Pop-Tarts and sugar in all of those and maple syrup all over that. My dad would be delighted.
Yeah, James's dad eats like Buddy the Elf.
Yeah, he is like
really?
Buddy the Elf.
Yeah.
Okay.
He might be my dad. That could be the next Elf.
Really?
Elf sequel is that Buddy's got a kid he doesn't know about. It turns up and it's me. And he's my dad. Yeah.
What about him is like Buddy the Elf?
He just eats like him. He just said that's what he would eat like. He'd eat candy and sweets all the time and put maple syrup on everything if he could. Absolutely love it. He only eats other stuff to be polite because he has to blend in with society.
Bless him.
Yeah.
I am partial to a sweet, to be fair.
Yeah, well, I'm looking sweet. That's great. That's great.
So we're in Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
James is with his Dolmio family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What have they cooked you up for your starter?
They have cooked us up. Oh, you just can't go wrong with some good bruschetta.
Oh.
It's a very boring choice, but it just hits. It hits because you get the freshness of the tomatoes and the basil. You've got the bread, more bread. I know that we had soda bread, but... I imagine that our stomachs can hold everything and anything for this. Bruschetta followed by a phenomenal pasta dish.
Uh-huh.
I want to say it's got like a thick, red, rich sauce.
Mm.
Chorizo.
Yes.
Can't go wrong with chorizo.
In a pasta?
My God, of course.
Great.
Yep. The pasta is cooked within the sauce, of course.
Yeah.
And then I guess secret ingredients that I do not know, but the family who are cooking it me do.
Yeah, they'd know. Domia's in there.
No, I can't have... I couldn't have my last meal with Domio. No offence to the Domio family.
Well, that's an awkward conversation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because that's who's in there.
Yeah. That's going to be an issue.
Because you're making even if you don't say that to them, if you just say it to James and have him pass a message on you, creating an awkward family situation for James.
I feel like James just would know not to conversate or ask that of the puppets and just go ahead and take the initiative and just switch out Domio for like a plain passata.
I mean, I'll do it because it's your dream meal, it's not going to be a great day for me.
I know, but also
this is the last day on earth.
Yeah, but not for you, for me. Remember, this is just...
Yeah, I mean all the different time periods, there's different characters.
Yeah, okay. This is just another day at work for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Big question for the genie, though. Bruschetta and pasta.
Yeah.
Happy with both as a starter?
Well, listen, in the past, so Joseph Quinn came on the podcast, and he was the first person to use the cheat of adding a pasta course before the main course, in between the starter and the main. Uh-huh. So I would allow you to use that loophole that he found of doing the bruschetta as your starter.
Brilliant.
And then having a pasta course of this chorizo tomato pasta as your pasta course, and then we have the main. I think that's where we've let people do that before.
Okay, brilliant.
And it's one of my favourite loopholes.
Yeah.
It's a great loophole. You could almost get the bruschetta from the Dolmio people and then hop in the next door, which is a different region of Italy.
Yes.
And it's like real people from Italy.
Very good.
Or Tucci's house.
Very good.
The Tucci?
You go and see Stanley Tucci.
Oh, man, he can cook, eh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stanley Tucci can make
it. So there you go. That escapes any awkward conversations with the puppets.
Okay, brilliant. Well done.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, great.
But would I be with the Tucci as well?
Yeah, I mean, that would be a joy because also fantastic conversation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the conversation would have to start with me reminding him who I am. But, like, yeah,
that's fine. Can I be there for that bit as well?
Yeah, of course you can.
Thanks.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So your main course, are we staying in Italy?
No, main course, we're gonna pop across to Africa.
Uh-huh.
I am half Nigerian.
Yeah.
And recently I've been eating a lot of Nigerian food. Yeah. It's not something that I ate like growing up at all. And I kind of got that hunger for it recently. So that's very much required by my taste palates constantly. So I would go with jollof rice, Nigerian jollof, obviously.
Yeah.
I would go for some Assan goat meat, which is incredibly spicy. Ooh. I love spice.
Amazing.
We're talking scotch bonnet times four. We'd want some porridge yam on the side for me, a bit of puff puff to soak up the extra gravy, and some plantain. That would be my choice. But I would also get off on the fact that my friends would be going to different doors and coming out and we'd be like, oh, wow, look at all the different cuisines that we've got. Gies a bit of that, gies a bit of that. I'm a real picker, me. That's why tapas is a great thing.
Yeah.
I like to kind of just have everything.
Now, I want to drill down more into the different parts of that meal. I want to hear all about them.
Mm-hmm.
But first off, we just got a cover off. What's James wearing?
I was hoping this wouldn't happen.
What's the genie wearing when you go through the Nigerian door?
Okay.
He's trying to stitch me up.
We are going to have some traditional wear.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually don't know the names of it, the names of the pieces of material. But what I do know is that there's kind of like a long coat sort of thing, which you'll be wearing, the trousers, and then you've got some kind of hat on, very vibrant, colourful colours.
Great.
But next time you have somebody who is half Nigerian or full Nigerian on this podcast, make sure that they're able to just kind of get the finer details for you and get the specific names.
Yeah. So we've got the jollof.
Yep.
You know, I think the jollof wars are over on this podcast. There's been a lot of battles.
Has there?
Yeah.
But I think the more we ask people about it now, the more they're like, look, man, everyone can just enjoy their own jollof. Why are you trying to turn us against each other? And then we feel really bad.
Yeah.
It used to just be that, like, they'd bring it up themselves. Yeah. The guests would be like, this is the best jollof. Anyone else can shut up. And then we were like, oh, so this is a thing. Cool.
Yeah.
But then we try and fan the flames.
Yeah.
And then it takes on a bit of a different tone.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite have the same effect.
Look, jollof, amazing. Plantain to talk about a lot as well. So delicious.
Yeah.
What was the goat meat?
The goat. So it's in this like Assam pepper sauce. It's basically just got like onions and it's cooked, I think, for a couple of days in this incredibly spicy sauce. But it's just like, you know, sometimes when you get those meals, you try those dishes and it's like you're then addicted to it for the rest of your life or what feels like it will be. It's just a specific taste that I constantly need every second of the day. So all I can describe it as is this very spicy, flavorful goat situation.
The goat situation.
The goat situation.
Yeah, yeah. Is it the goat of food?
It's the goat. It's the goat of Nigerian food for me.
Yeah.
Whenever I have something, I always want that to accompany it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Whenever I have any other jollof, the porridge yam, puff puff, whatever, I want that meat. I want that spice.
I love goat. I barely find it anywhere, but when I do, straight in.
As in on a menu or on a menu. To find it to cook?
No, on a menu.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I could find it to cook.
You'd have to go to specific places. Like I was looking because I started cooking Nigerian food last week. But to get a lot of the ingredients, I'm going to have to go to like, you know, West African supermarkets.
Yeah,
but it's the same if you cook any cuisine that isn't British.
Yeah.
But goat was great. Even Caribbean curry goat.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just got, my friend asked me the other day, she was like, what is the difference between like goat and beef? What? Because she doesn't eat meat anymore. She's been vegan for a long time. And I was like, for me, it just feels like goat is the meat that it's baseline flavor. You're able to paint over it really well.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst like chicken and beef and other kind of meats, fish, they're also strong in their natural flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But with goat, for some reason, it's more tender. And you're able to give it more flavor, I always find.
It does have a distinctive taste as well, right? So it's slightly gamier.
Like, what does gamier mean?
Caught out there using words you don't even fucking know.
Well, I do know. I do know, but it's very difficult to describe a taste. It's like someone asking, what do you mean by salty? Like, it is what it is. Like,
okay. Well,
you will have tasted it, but you've not associated it with that word, I guess. But,
okay.
Yeah. It's slightly earthier, maybe.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's delicious. We had goat the other day.
Did you?
I don't talk about that.
Why?
Why?
Nish ruined it for me today.
Why?
Nish ruined that for me this morning.
What did you say?
I had a goat named after me in Kettering.
Oh, yeah.
At a theme park. They got loads of goats. So they named one James Acaster. And then my mum went with my nephew yesterday to see the goats. And James Acaster wasn't there anymore. And they said he had been moved to a field to be a companion for a horse. And I told Nish this morning because I thought...
You fell for it.
I thought, what a sweet story. And Nish went, that goat's dead. And we ate it the other day at the restaurant. And I was like, we did not eat that goat. And he was like, yeah, we ate James Acaster the goat and you ate it and you loved it. And it really ruined that meal for me.
Well, there were goat belly samosas at Brigadier's. They were absolutely amazing.
Wow.
And the goat shoulder. We had goat shoulder as well.
Goat shoulder.
It wasn't James Acaster the goat. He is a companion for a horse
in
the field right now.
You've fallen for it. That's like gone to live on a farm. But they can't say that because it's already on a farm. So that's the next excuse up.
They did not eat James Acaster the goat. They can't name it after.
Oh, man. Yeah.
After local celebrity.
A goat was named after you and then it was eaten.
It was not eaten. It's a companion for a horse.
It's not a companion for a horse. That doesn't happen. It's not a Pixar film.
That's lovely. There are loads of videos on the internet of like unlikely animal friendships.
Yeah, but that's because they all live on the farm already.
Yeah.
Now this one's moved over.
Donkeys and dogs, horses and dogs, cats and dogs.
Yeah.
I think it's, I believe it's a companion for a horse. We did not eat it.
Okay.
No one's eaten it.
Yeah.
Someone's eaten that horse.
A horse?
Yeah.
So they ate the horse.
Yeah, and the goat had to watch, and then they killed the goat.
Ooh. What the fuck? This guy.
I struggle to eat horse.
That doesn't pop up that often, though, right?
I mean, not really. It depends where you are, I guess.
France?
Yeah.
Yeah. France, mainly.
France, yeah.
You're not going to go through that French door and have a bit of horse.
I don't think so.
No.
No horse, no frog's legs or snails, please.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't do a French accent.
Although we do, like, because French is the accent and the language I have to speak in Boiling Point. So that's one. I had some French food when I was there and I was like, okay, interesting. Very garlicky.
Yes.
And I love garlic. But yeah, no.
Full on.
Yeah, but the baguette situation is nice there. You know, wake up in the morning, go get your loaf, or what would you call it, stick?
Yeah.
Stick a baguette, your ham, your brie, your butter.
Oh.
Oh, stunning.
How long were you there for?
I was only in Paris for 2 days because I went over to meet a woman who was helping me with the language for the series. Cause...
And did you have to go out and about and like speak in public in like French?
I did a bit of it, yeah. And she very kindly helped me for about 2 hours every day for about 6 months.
Uh-huh.
Because when you don't speak that language and then suddenly you're thrown into a set where you have to improvise in a language that you don't speak, that's a very different kettle
of fish.
That's
tricky.
So it must be, it was a thing where, like, you know, you do the film,
mm-hmm.
you finish the film, you think, mm-hmm. well, that's that character gone, never have to think about that again.
Fully, completely, utterly, yes, especially this one. So when Phil called up and went, guess what, we're making it into a series, my life flashed before my eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, I went, yeah, no, I really, really need to learn this.
But initial feelings of happiness and joy, I'd imagine.
Absolutely, yeah.
Immediately followed by, oh, God.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
What country are you going to for your side dish?
Now, obviously, we've got sides on the Nigerian.
To be fair, there's
plate.
A lot of sides on that plate.
But if you want something extra, if you want to use one of those other doors, it's the last day on earth, so maybe.
I mean, I think if anything, I'd probably just be wanting to pick at what my other friends have got.
Who are the friends, first of all?
Yes,
I've definitely got my best mate Sienna with me.
Yeah,
she's vegan, mean cook, really uh-huh. good. I got my other best mate Renee.
Uh-huh.
I got my sister.
Quick question. How does Renee feel about having the title of a best mate?
Very good, because Sienna's on my mind because I was speaking to her last night. She'll probably punch me in the face after this, but I'll tell her not to listen, so it should be fine.
Good.
Yeah, I'm sure she won't suspect anything.
She'll fall for that. Yeah. Don't listen to that one,
no reason.
Don't listen to this one, babe. Yeah, no, there'll be an accumulation of people that make me laugh a lot.
Any of the other, the wives of Henry VIII? Any of the six cast going to be there?
Any of the six cast. Renee is in the original six cast with me. Yeah.
Exciting.
She's Catherine of Aragon.
Perfect.
Put her in character. And she goes back in time to Henry VIII time, so it hurts.
She'd punch me in the throat.
Yeah. She's a violent person.
She'd punch me in the throat.
Renee's always punching people.
Oh, she's screaming in it. She's a great crack.
Is that where you met?
Yeah. That's where we met. She didn't like me, actually, when we did that.
Really?
She thought I was a bit of a twat, I think.
Interesting.
Then she obviously fell in love with me, and the rest is history.
The fans of Six musical are like wild committed, right?
Yeah.
That's all I've heard about that there's like people who come multiple times and sit on the front row and like...
Yeah. I've heard that it's pretty mad because I never did it on West End. So we helped workshop it, get it on stage, did West End for a few days, and then the other girls... took over and cracked on. But obviously I was like, I'll do the soundtrack. But the fans they're pretty mad. They love it. They really love it. And
it's almost like, because it's like a pop concert thing. It's garnered the fans of like a pop band, basically.
Oh, yeah, very much so. The girls all have individual followings. The characters do in many ways, but it's intense. Like you do other shows or be on tour with something and fans of that would turn up. And just want to talk about that. Wow. But yeah, other friends, I think, would be able to, other girls that are in it, that engage more with it, would be able to answer about the madness of it all. But I just kind of
put my
head down. Yeah, got out early, bro. Yeah.
Would you not want to use these time traveling doors to go back and meet the original?
That would be pretty cool. I think I'd want to maybe meet Boleyn. She sounded like a scream.
It's a laugh.
Yeah.
So which one are you?
I'm Catherine Parr.
So
she survived.
Survived.
Yeah.
She might be still knocking them out, actually.
Worth a check. You might not even need a time travelling door.
So as far as I'm aware, that rhyme's not been updated. Yeah. She surely did die.
Yeah.
You think?
That's a really good point.
But apparently not.
They're lying to kids.
Yeah. Survived. What the fuck?
What's
how old is she? Huh?
How does it go?
Divorced, beheaded, died. Divorced, beheaded, survived.
It should be divorced, beheaded, died. Divorced, beheaded.
Eventually died.
Yeah. He's dead now.
Yeah, didn't die while married to him, but...
She is dead.
Yeah, she has to be.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
So your side dish, you're just picking up what your friends
I'm
have.
I'm picking up whatever my friends have got.
What are Renee and Sienna likely to get from the different doors that you're going to be picking at?
I feel like Sienna has gone to some like agricultural farm and everything is just made from herbs. There's lots of condiments and all
Big
sorts.
Big pile of herbs.
Yeah, it's probably my side salad. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, Sienna will provide my side salad. Renee loves Korean food and Japanese, so she's probably gone to the Japanese store and got some incredible sushi. So I'd probably steal a bit of that.
Nice.
Not sashimi, though. It would have to be maybe like a bit of prawn tempura on avocado.
Don't like raw fish?
I can do it, but I'd rather not. Mm-hmm. And if it's my last day, I'm just going to eat how I want, I think.
Fair enough.
It sounds like the set of boiling point would put you off fish for life.
Yes.
It stinks that bad.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Yeah, yeah. I probably wouldn't ever want that sushi again, huh?
Oh, Jesus, all smells. And then you've got like the mix of incense that's creating a smoky...
Well, they put incense there as well.
Yeah.
For the restaurant or just like...
Well, it just
to
helps
try and diffuse the smell of the...
On camera, you can see the smoke.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what, they use incense for that?
As well as other stuff, yeah. As as us cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah. God.
Yeah, incense mixed with bad fish smell.
Is one of the worst things you could ever think about.
Yeah, because anytime there's like a terrible smell and you try and cover it up with like something that's supposed to smell
just
nice,
musky.
All it does is ruins the other smell for you.
Yeah.
When I was in New Zealand once, I had some chicken in the fridge and I left it there for too long. And it was like, I should have known. I pulled it out of the fridge
smell.
And it was like bulging.
Yeah. The personification
top.
Of salmonella.
Yeah.
Like
and I popped the top of the packet.
Of course, yeah. Oh. Why not?
Have a absolute bit of fun. Stink bomb. And I had some CK1 with me. I used to wear CK1 and I sprayed it in the air to try and get rid of the smell, but I can't wear CK1 anymore. Anytime I smell CK1, I think...
Was your wife with you at the time?
No, just me. Just me in the house. Just me there.
Oh, God.
Pop, awful. CK1.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Sprays cologne on his chicken.
I didn't spray it on the chicken.
Doesn't work.
Sprayed it in the air and that ruined CK1 for me because now it makes me think of off chicken.
That's our new podcast. It's called Off Chicken.
Diamond egg.
Yeah, I can understand why you wouldn't want raw fish. Yeah. And now you don't want raw chicken anymore after that story.
Yeah, I mean, do you ever want raw chicken?
Some areas of Japan, they eat chicken sashimi.
Really?
Yeah, raw chicken.
Wow.
I think the dissonance there of eating raw chicken, I think even if I know it's perfect, I wouldn't be able to do it.
I'd be in my own head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're improvising.
Like I'm improvising. Yeah. Me too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't be able to do anything.
Yeah.
Man, so bad at improv on camera. So bad. And everyone expects you to be good because you're a comedian as well.
Yeah.
It was like,
you didn't
have
to do much on that film though, did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
I've only been on two film sets.
What film? Go on.
Are you familiar with Amazon Prime's Cinderella?
Is Ben Bailey Smith in that?
Yes.
Yes. He's a town crier.
No, I can't say that I am. Well, I've not watched it, but I think we're obviously talking about the same thing. So yes.
Yeah, I'm one of the footmen in that who turns into a mouse.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Was it fun?
Sorry, I'm a mouse and turn into a footman, and then I go back into a mouse again.
God, this is why he's bad at improv.
Oh God! Jesus Christ!
Yeah, when he was
How
a mouse,
was
he was going, "I used to be a man." They go, "No, you're a mouse. You started off as a mouse. That's the whole point of Cinderella."
And it was terrifying, or you enjoyed it?
I did 2 days on it. I had to replace someone last minute, so it's very low pressure.
Did you know that before
yes.
you went in? Yeah,
the character,
nice.
The character name was still named after the person who was supposed to
very
be the
good.
Film.
Their headshot was up on the wall when you were in
May
makeup.
As well have been.
Well, yeah. they did his hair like the other guy.
Yeah, they did. They
really
did. Yeah,
good.
Yeah. They,
nice.
They still had that. They hadn't even had time to change that in
Great.
The thing. So it was like, there's your hair. You look like John Mulaney now.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was. I definitely think there was a few takes where they were like, no, just like stay whatever you like.
Yeah.
And I was like, hello, Cinderella. So, yeah, not very good.
James, you're halfway through a conversation right now. You can't say hello, Cinderella.
And what's the other thing?
The new Ghostbusters film.
Oh, okay. That's not out yet.
That's not out yet. So we'll see how much improv makes it into that.
How was that? Was it good fun?
Yeah, I loved it.
Wicked.
I loved it. But like, yeah, every time I had to plan my improv on the way to set.
Why?
Because I knew that I was going to freeze up and mess it up otherwise. So I just think in the car.
Hello,
like,
Bill Murray.
What's my scene today? Okay. Think of a bunch of things you could say that would be funny.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with a bit
and
of preparation.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm new to it. I'm new to it. I'm having to keep up with the best of them. I wouldn't be able to do Boiling Point, man.
I think you'd feel out of place in that anyway. Genie Waiter popping up in Boiling Point.
Yeah. And also, let's face it, I wouldn't be able to hold myself back from whooping someone's ass. Dream drink, I guess.
Dream drink. Where are you going? What door?
I mean, red wine is the love. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so many doors to choose from.
So we are going to France now.
Well, do you go France? Do you go Argentina? Do you go South Africa?
You could go back to Italy.
Yeah. Exactly.
New Zealand.
Lebanon.
Oh, yeah, you could.
It's good, good Lebanese red wine.
Yeah.
Nice stuff.
I do love a Cab Sav. I do love a Rioja, a Shiraz, and I just don't know. Would you know the best place to go?
Cab Sav's difficult because it's the most widely grown grape.
Okay.
Well, most popular.
Wow. Yeah, here we go. This is the good
obviously
shit.
Obviously, your classic Cabernet Sauvignon. You are going to France, probably Bordeaux, left bank. But then some brilliant Californian Cab Sav as well.
Uh-huh.
And then South America, you can get some pretty hefty ones there.
Yeah.
It depends how, do you want like a really heavy?
I think let's go full body.
Full body.
But maybe, so let's save the Rioja for the second glass.
Okay.
And have a medium body for the first glass. What would you recommend? Are you,
you want to go Cab Sav?
Cab Sav for the first glass,
yeah.
Rioja for the second.
Well, Rioja, I guess, Spain.
Okay.
You got to go to Spain.
Right.
Cab Sav.
We dressed as a matador in Spain, please.
Yes?
Yes.
Why not California? Why don't you get a glass of California and Cab Sav?
Okay, fine.
James?
I guess we'll be dressed like California Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the film California Man, Brendan Fraser.
Isn't he a caveman?
Yes, but...
So you want to be dressed as a caveman?
They find him in California and they dress him up in clothes that they've got lying around.
Like a surfer guy.
Surfer dude.
Okay. And that's how you're going to be dressed, a surfer dude?
Yeah, in California.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice, I can't wait for the messages from wine people saying I got all that wrong, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See how I let you do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, listen, the Nigerian people are already coming for me for the fact I didn't know the name of the traditional clothing, so
I think I've got out of this episode scot-free.
Yeah, you have.
I'm absolutely fine.
Yeah, you're around, mate. For you.
Two glasses.
Well, those are the two bottles that will be on the table.
Yeah.
And I'll be alternating between them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't want to fuck with my palate too much, but I've got a sweet tooth, so a strawberry daiquiri is sometimes nice. But
are you
maybe
using that as a bridging drink between the main course and the dessert?
Yes, or it's the first thing I'll have before I eat anything.
Great. So
I don't want to fuck with my palate too much.
Yeah,
I'm starting uncultured. With a strawberry daiquiri.
So is that when you're still in the conservatory?
Yeah, we're always in the conservatory.
So you're going back and forth. You're going into the doors and then you're coming back into
have a nice chat. Thank you very much. Okay. Put it back in your trolley and then go back to your
it's a buffet.
It's a buffet.
Where are you getting the strawberry daiquiri from, door-wise?
Do you know what? I had a really good one in a place called Enish, which is a Nigerian restaurant in London. They do one and it's like a glass of sugary goodness. They've even got one of those fizzy strawberry laces, I presume from the Sainsbury's next door.
Oh, wow.
A cocktail stick in it and put it on the top.
Wow.
I mean, when they brought it over to me, I almost cried.
Great.
Stunning.
This place has been recommended so many times.
Oh, you need to go. Yeah. You need to go. Yeah. It's good, man. And good jollof rice.
Yeah.
Everything I just said for my main course, I would get as a meal situation at Enish.
Nice.
Yep. Gotta go.
Gotta go.
It's ridiculous now.
Now you've heard about the strawberry daiquiri with the strawberry lace in it.
Yeah, that shouldn't have been the thing that tips me over. But obviously, what they do, strawberry laces from Sainsbury's? I'm going straight there. I was in Scotland recently.
Oh, yeah, where were you?
Glasgow.
Lovely.
And every time I'm in Scotland, I always want to get Iron Brew. But I get Iron Brew Extra, which is a sugar-free one. Mm-hmm. And I feel very self-conscious when I'm buying it in public because I think, surely this is frowned upon. Is it?
I don't think so.
I think if I buy it, everyone's looking at me like, that's not real.
Well, if there was no demand for it in Scotland, then they wouldn't sell it, right?
People would get that.
Yeah.
My sister would get that. I wouldn't, unless something's gone terribly wrong, you know, or I'm...
Great.
Yeah, you're grand.
Great. Dream dessert.
Dream dessert. I think that I'm going to go through the door to USA and it's just going to be a giant pick and mix.
USA pick and mix.
Yeah.
Why USA pick and mix?
Because I feel like they have like the sort of candy that would be illegal everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That would probably like burst your veins upon entering your digestive system.
Anywhere particular in the US?
I've actually never been to the United States, so I don't know. I've just like had candy that's come over here, so I don't know like which ones are reserved for which states.
I mean, you're wearing a Biggie t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to go to New York in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
And you meet people like Biggie.
That would be pretty fucking
Maybe
gnarly.
Do a pick and mix of Biggie.
Yeah. I'm up for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Whilst he's rapping in my ear.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
If there's
that.
A pick and mix, he's not rapping. He's focused on the pick and mix, isn't he? He's the last guy I want to go to a pick and mix with.
Yeah. Because none of the things
yeah,
you like.
He's ramming me out the way.
Yeah, yeah.
He's getting his hand stuck in one of the boxes.
You go to the opposite side of him.
That's what he was notorious for.
Eating pick and mix.
The notorious PIC.
Oh my days. Yeah, no, I'd be all off about that pick and mix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what kind of things are you thinking about having in there?
Anything with like sour, sugary flakes on the outside, mm-hmm. pencils, you know, those like pencil things you bite yeah. into, probably about that long.
Yeah.
Wheels, like the sugary wheels that you could put over. Anything sour and gummy.
Yeah.
I am not a chocolate cake pastry biscuit fan.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I'm like really gummy. Wow. All that quirky. Yeah. And if that's how I'm going to go out.
Big strawberries.
Oh, giant yeah. strawberries, man. Yeah. But also the wee squishy ones you can get as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe like wash it all down with a Fanta fruit twist.
This is what's speaking frozen. To my dad.
I was thinking when you were saying that. I was like, wait till he gets to my dessert.
Down to the fact, I've spoke about it on the podcast before, but I opened there was like a charity shop in Kettering that opened. That I cut the ribbon for, but they had a little tuck shop at the back.
Yeah.
So as
tuck, even just the phrase tuck shop makes me emotional.
Yeah.
I used to just live for that. We had something called a paper shop Sunday when I was little.
Yeah.
And I would just like close my eyes and just wait for Sunday every day. Run, fucking leg it to the paper shop and then choose my two sweets of choice. You wonder why I had about 8 fillings before the age of 14.
Yeah.
When you said Sunday, I was imagining you buying loads of stuff from the paper shop and then making a Sunday out of it.
I thought paper shop Sunday.
No, because obviously by the time I got home, it would all be gone.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Because you can't carry things the way you're going to eat them.
On the way home. I mean, that was why, I'm the same as you. We had a newsagent around the corner from us every Saturday. I'd spent all my pocket money
on
the sweets there.
Yeah.
Negotiated that as soon as my dad was like, we're going up to £2 a week this week. Can I spend all of it on
brilliant,
sweets?
Just brilliant.
Yes, I can't believe it.
Yes.
Yeah. Get it.
And
go
£2
home,
was like...
Adventures of Superman.
£2 got you far.
Loads, because you'd have things that were 10p, 5p. I would be so rational about this.
Yeah.
So prepared.
Also, like, I figured out pretty early on they weren't counting them. So I could just load those bags up and then go, like, yeah, okay, fine, that's £2, whatever. Yeah. And then go home, eat it all in front of Live and Kicking. So, right. I saw my dad eat a hamper of these fizzy sweets that the tuck shop gave me.
Good man.
Because I was like, I'm not eating these. I was saving for my nephews, who at the time were like very young. Put them on top of the fridge at my parents' house.
Yeah, bad move.
And he was like, can I have some of those for dessert? I was like, yeah, but remember, they're for...
A grown man, you said it's for my nephews.
For my nephews. Yeah. I'm
so his grandchildren.
I'm specifically saving it for them.
And he went, can I have some of that?
Can I have some of that for dessert? Yeah, but remember, you can't finish it because...
Oh my God, rules reversed.
Gets it in the basket, puts it in front of himself. So doesn't like get a few, put them on a plate, put the basket back on top of the fridge.
Yeah.
Basket in front of himself, gets a can of Fanta out the fridge, opens that, and me and my girlfriend at the time sat there and watched him eat them, like no chewing, just like a duck, and just put... I just glugging them down with a Fanta each time. Absolutely astounded, like we were in a lab taking notes on some creature.
And he ate all of them?
No, he didn't eat all of them. He had about half that basket, which is still nuts.
Wow.
Still nuts if you're eating your grandkids' sweets.
I was pretty sure you can't be experiencing each sweet as it happens. You're just getting the sugar in. You'll be just like, get it in my... I just want it in my body. Just what's in them.
Yeah.
Like, I just want that in my bloodstream. I don't really care about... How it tastes.
It's a real issue. God, the hypocrisy of talking about my dessert in comparison to coming for people at the beginning that don't drink water.
Sure. Yeah, this is really. Yeah.
So you've got a Fanta fruit twist as well with the
Fanta frozen.
Fanta frozen.
Ooh.
The ones you get from the cinema.
Yeah.
Frozen fruit twist.
Yeah. You usually get the cherry mixed with the raspberry, which is the blue one. But I just think the raspberry is the best one. So I always just get that on its own.
So is the Fanta frozen like a challenger to Tango Ice Blast?
Yeah.
And you prefer the Fanta frozen?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I think the Fanta frozen came first.
Did it?
That's a bold statement, though.
This is the new Jollof Wars.
Yeah,
exactly.
Fanta frozen versus Tango Ice Blast.
So
yeah.
I feel like Tango Ice Blast is the only thing really keeping the Tango company afloat at this point.
That's true.
I don't ever
They're
see anyone with a can of Tango.
Yeah. Everyone's always going to go Fanta.
So, like, I would feel bad, even though I'm sure it does taste nicer, the Fanta Frozen.
Mm.
Tango Ice Blast is like, as soon as that's gone, as soon as that gets defeated, they're done.
Yeah, it's over. It's over.
But I'm Cash surprised in. That, you know, Orange Tango Ice Blasts aren't really much of a thing. It's just the red or the blue.
It's that's kind of across the board. Maybe it's an aesthetically pleasing thing.
Mm. But
there used to be an orange one, but I only ever see pink and blue.
When I used to serve them at the theme park in Kettering, that they then named go after me. There was a green one.
Oh,
and that was my favorite.
Was it like lime?
Yeah, and I loved it so much.
Are you one of those people that like lemon and lime?
You love lemon and lime.
I love lemon and lime.
You love lemon and lime as well.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Especially with Coca Cola.
Yeah, the lemon and lime is itself absolutely, but as a flavor of something, never usually ever choose it.
Really,
it's my favorite vape.
Oh God, really?
Yep.
Azuka is a vapist.
Yes. I am also a vapist.
You came in with your vape earlier and asked Benito if you were allowed to vape in the room.
I did,
it's very important to you. You asked
loud.
Me five times.
I asked you five times.
Before I deferred you to Benito. It was very, very important to you.
It's a very loud one. I don't think it's fair for the listener to hear some kind of like unasked for.
Azuka's vape plays the Crazy Frog.
Yeah, which I used to do as a kid.
Does it?
No, it
around
does.
The room.
No, it doesn't.
Imagine a vape. Every time you inhaled from it. Ring, ding, 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 ding. Trying to vape in secret.
You love Crazy Frog.
I do love Crazy Frog. Yeah. I think we need to reassess Crazy Frog. I think it was a work of comic genius.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was.
I think he did pretty well at the time. Better than it deserved.
Yeah, but it was very... It was
top
much,
of the charts.
It was much maligned by the critical community. Yeah, I just think we need some sort of big long think piece on the Crazy Frog now.
Yeah, fair.
What flavour vape have you got?
This is pineapple. I'm obsessed with pineapple vapes.
He can't have that in his house.
Why?
My wife's allergic to pineapple.
That is true.
Yeah, for pineapple vape.
That's
yeah,
true.
Can't, yeah. She can't be near that.
She just does not like the face. Smell.
Yeah, I think it might sort of like psychosomatically TSD. bring out hives.
Fair.
Yeah.
And are you strictly lemon and lime flavour?
No, I'm rocking a cola at the moment.
Yes, yes you are. I heard that on the Paul Mescal one.
Used to be a peach boy.
Gosh, these are bold flavours.
I'll dip in and out of Juicy Peach, sure.
Dips in and out.
Oh, I've got Fizzy Orange as well, actually.
Oh, how's that?
Tango. It's Fanta, it tastes like Fanta.
Oh, delicious.
Yeah.
Not like
nice.
Tango.
Well, I guess, yeah. But I was trying to pitch it to Azuka, so I was going Fanta.
Okay,
yeah,
nice.
You like Fanta.
And you don't vape?
No.
You're a better man than both of us.
Yeah. Never smoked, never vaped.
Never smoked ever?
No, I never smoked
ever. You don't know what it's like?
Don't know what it's like, wouldn't know.
Oh, God, your lungs must love you.
My lungs love me. Every part of my body, actually, loves me, I think.
He's a big smackhead, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Guilty as charged. I'm going to read your menu back to you now, see how
Go
you
on.
Feel about it.
All right.
You would like Highland Spring still water.
Yes.
Through the door. You would like Irish soda bread with Kerrygold butter, starter, bruschetta from Italy. And then we're staying in Italy, going through another door to see the Tooch and having red sauce and chorizo pasta. Then we're going through another door to Nigeria. Uh-huh. Nigerian jollof, Asan goat, porridge yam, puff puff, plantain.
Stunning.
Side dish. We're going to all of your friends' plates. Picking on them.
Brilliant.
Most likely you're having a side salad from Sienna and sushi from Rene with tempura prawn in it, not with raw fish because it reminds you of the stinky kitchen. Drink, well, you want a strawberry daiquiri as soon as you arrive in the conservatory, but you would like Californian cab sav and a Rioja from Spain. Mm. Dessert, you want a giant pick and mix with Biggie Smalls in New York in the 90s. Loads of different American sweets, mainly fizzy sweets, with a Fanta raspberry frozen. Or Fanta Fruit Twist Frozen?
Fanta Frozen with a combination of the cherry flavour and the raspberry flavour.
Lovely. And then probably a little bit of a vape afterwards on your pineapple vape?
I think I'll need a vape between courses.
Yeah.
I usually get a craving as soon as I've eaten something.
So that'll just be ongoing throughout the whole night.
Vaping. Yeah. Maybe there's a shisha stand somewhere.
Yeah. We'll go through the door.
How do you feel about it?
It's going to be... I just can't wait for my friends to listen to this.
You've definitely used the doors to their full effect, I'd say.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I'll go home and obviously shed a tear over the doors that I forgot or missed, but There'll be lots of people that'll be able to go through whatever door they want.
Well, you won't go home.
You won't go home.
I won't, but other people might.
No one will. Everyone's going to fucking die.
Only in my universe.
Okay. So just you. Just you going to die. That's your choice.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, it's a sad way to end this episode.
Well, you know.
With the death of a guest.
Azuka seems okay with it.
Yeah, Azuka seems all right.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, it's her choice.
Good luck.
Good luck with it all.
Thank you so much.
Can't wait to watch the series. Do tell Stephen Graham that he's dead meat. Let him know.
I will do. I'll tell him and then I'll show him a picture.
Me? He already
knows. This guy's coming for you.
He knows what I fucking look like.
Prepare.
He knows what I look like.
Yeah. Show him a picture of him when he's wearing his footman costume in Amazon.
Cinderella.
The Amazon Cinderella.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you show him that. Yeah.
I will.
You show him that. Say, this is England, motherfucker.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Azuka.
Thank you, Azuka.
Well, there we are, James. A fantastically detailed dream restaurant from Azuka.
Very detailed. An entire universe, entire world, entire set of magical rules.
And timelines.
Timelines. So much going on.
It was like the sort of thing I'd imagine if they did a Marvel-themed restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. No, it would be. You're absolutely right.
Go through doors to different timelines.
Yeah, that'd be quite exciting.
Different universes. The multiverse.
The multiverse of...
Food. Funny old mood you today, aren't you?
Huh?
Funny old mood.
I had two Costados.
Yes, thank you very much to Forza Win. Of course, we talked about the Costado on Jimmy Famarewa's episode. He picked that as part of his dream meal.
Yeah.
James then stole that and used it on his dream meal, even though he'd not had it at that point. Yep. Someone on Instagram posted that I stole all of Jimmy's menu.
Oh, did you?
No. I had stuff from Mangal 2, which I was always planning on having. Uh-huh. And there was probably somewhere else I had stuff from, maybe Quality Chop House. I think he had an olive oil ice cream, maybe from somewhere else. But you stole his drink directly.
Yeah, and deliberately.
Deliberately.
As well.
And some people don't know when I'm saying something or you're saying something.
Oh, is this the case? Okay, fair enough. I mean, you know.
This is the Tao Tao Zhu situation all over again.
Yeah. Long may that continue. I'm pleased to report that the Costado from Forza Win tastes every bit as delicious as I imagined it when Jimmy described it.
Yes.
And when I stole it and put it on my menu.
Yeah.
I've never put something in my dream menu before that I've never had, but it sounded so delicious I had to have it. Had it today. It is absolutely staying on the menu. Incredible.
Well, let me tell you, I had two little shots of it as a taste. Absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
Thought this will be my downfall. I had it at the same time as my lunch. Got in to record the episode with Azuka straight afterwards. And my blood sugar meter on my phone was buzzing like a champion. Not conducive to my insulin regime, but worth it for the short-term distress.
Maybe I should get a blood sugar meter.
No, I don't think you should.
No?
No.
I don't know. It'd be interesting.
It would be interesting / horrifying.
Yeah.
Well, you also have a working pancreas, so it wouldn't be too much of an issue, I don't think.
Compliment received.
Hmm?
Thank you for the compliment.
Not a compliment.
About my pancreas.
No, I think you muggles are scum.
What? Don't listen to him, pancre.
Thank you so much to Azuka for coming in. Of course, we're very excited that Boiling Point is available now on BBC iPlayer, and it's being shown on BBC One. And the second series of the multi-award-winning, hugely acclaimed Big Boys is coming later in the year to Channel 4 as well.
What a year. Congratulations, Azuka. We
love
year. It.
Huge year for Azuka. And an even bigger year for Azuka because she did not say walnut oil.
Thank you for not saying that so we can continue to ask you about your menu.
Yes. If you like me, I'm on tour next year, starting in March. Hot Diggity Dog is the name of the show, and I'm going across and around the UK. edgamble.co.uk for tickets. Also, buy my book, published on October 26th, Ed Gamble, Glutton, The Multicourse Life of a Very Greedy Boy, available from all good bookshops.
JamesAcaster.com for tickets to Heckler's Welcome in 2024. Newcastle and Edinburgh, I'm mainly looking at you. That's where the ticket sales aren't soaring through the roof, put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, it's all relative, isn't it? When James complains about ticket sales, he means it hasn't sold out in 3.5 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm annoyed at that.
Yeah, it should be, mate. Disgraceful.
I'm angry.
I've seen the show, and it's a double thumbs up from me.
Thank you, Ed.
Huge vouch for that show. It's absolutely fantastic. Some of your finest work.
He's a nice boy, and I like him.
Huge shout out as well to the East London Liquor Co.
Glug, glug, glug.
Who sent us some rye whiskey and some gin. Benito's been swigging it through all the episodes.
Yeah, he is having a good time, that boy.
Yeah. Picklebacks for breakfast. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you again sometime soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Unless your name is Stephen Graham, in which case, good night.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.